Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. On today's show, protecting your retirement portfolio from potential market crashes in 2025 is really all about balancing risk and reward while keeping a long-term perspective. So today we're going to break down five strategies in a really easy follow.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement. Kevin Brooker is here. My name's Steve Siddall. Kevin, independent fiduciary, 30-plus years helping folks in this world of retirement, getting to that next stage of life and the exciting life, right? The retirement, right, Kevin?
The exciting, yes, for sure. And I am. Some of us are very much looking forward to that life.
Well, yeah. Well, I look at what you do, and as long as you've been doing this, I mean, you've got to retire so many times. I mean, it's kind of exciting. You know what I mean? But when it really happens for you, how exciting is that going to be?
Oh my gosh, no question about it. It's it's a party, and it's very enjoyable. You know, you meet a lot of people. Most of my clients are retirees or in their 50s and looking forward to retirement. And so I get a lot of enjoyment about helping them plan it. And then as we get closer and closer, we double check, triple check our plans and say, you know what, you're good to go whenever you're ready, you know, your money's ready.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. That's the reward really. For what I do, you know, and then of course, just seeing everybody enjoy their retirement and not having to worry about, you know, can I still keep on, going to see my grandkids, you know,
right,
twice a year or whatever it might be?
Sure. So, well, I love what you just said. Your money is ready. Let's go.
That's right. Your money is ready.
It's such a great way to look at it.
That's how I like to look at it. And I like the way it sounds, too.
Me too. Right. But that's what it said. I wrote it down as you said it because I thought, well, that's catchy.
Yeah, but I like it. I think it's catchy. And you know what? That's the key, right, is have your money ready for what you need. And, you know, we talked about balancing risk and reward. And that's one of the things that we want to talk about. You know, one saying I did see, this is what the early bird gets the worm, but it's the second mouse that gets the cheese.
Right.
I thought that was funny.
But what makes you think, doesn't it?
It does make you think a little bit. You know, maybe you don't have to be the first mover all the time. You know, maybe let somebody else try out that brand new technology and work the bugs out.
Being an early adopter isn't all that it's cracked up to be.
No, I tell you, I'm looking at the car companies, you know, all the people that went out and jumped, bought a Rivian. I'm not so sure how that's going to work out for you.
No.
So, I'm not a big believer in buying new car lines, you know, something you're going to have for many years.
Yeah, exactly. Because how do you know?
Yeah, I don't know how you know. I don't want to be a first mover in that category. If it's a new company, not like if it's a new model from, you know, Toyota, but a brand new car company, seems to me you're taking a lot of risks. So be careful taking, you know, being that first mover, guys. Sometimes it can come back and bite you, or get you caught in that trap, so to speak.
Well, and again, not so far off from planning for retirement and investments.
Yes, that's right. That's right. You know what? And one of the things that I've been noticing a lot lately, and we've talked about it a few times, is I'm feeling like there's a fair amount of people out there that are really getting too conservative with their investments too soon. And I think that could be a risk. I think that can be just as big of a risk as being too aggressive, because you might very well have a hard time keeping up with inflation if you don't have assets that and investments that are growing faster than the rate of inflation. And typically your CDs and your bank accounts aren't going to do that. So I think it's important that you have an intelligent approach. You want to address risk management, right? Which is limiting the downside of your portfolio. And so, you know, not all funds handle it the same way. If you get into passive funds, the index funds, you know, the S&P, the NASDAQ, the QQQ, the Russell 2000, any of the indexes, if you get into an index that mirrors that, or the copies it, so to speak, then there's really no risk management. There isn't any risk management. You're going to go up and down with the tide, up and down with the market, just like everybody else. So whatever happens to the market, that's what's going to happen. So there's no risk management in that portfolio. And so that's one of the reasons I personally am a believer in having both actively managed funds that can help to manage risk and passive funds, because those, of course, have the lowest expenses. All right.
Sure. Well, that makes sense.
I think it's a mix. I think the mix is the answer in a lot of cases. And you know, so you want to look at funds that adjust their exposure. They call them tactical funds, or asset allocation funds, or it could be trend following funds. Now, the trend following ones, those can also be momentum funds. And you want to understand that if you're a do-it-yourselfer, that you make sure you know exactly what those are, because these trends come in and out of favor, just like cyclical stocks, just like, you know, metals, right? Steel companies and airlines are very cyclical. I've had a hard time ever investing successfully on a consistent basis in airline stocks, because they're just so damn cyclical. And it's hard to see the trends. It's hard to know when something's going to happen. And so for me, I avoid that area. And if you're more successful at it, then I wish you the best. But the key is to understand how your different investments work and how they correlate with each other, so you don't wind up with, you know, six growth funds that are all buying the same stocks.
Right, exactly. And those are the kinds of things, the discussions that you have, and I think people are eager to learn these things, and that's what you do. You just lay it out in a way that just makes sense.
You know what? I appreciate that, Steve. And that's what I try to do, because I think, you know, a lot of people, they've got some understanding of the markets.
Sure. Well, I think we all have some.
Right? But most people don't have a deep understanding.
No.
And unless you know, if you have a finance degree, then that's different. If you work in finance, that's different. But if you work if you're a loan officer, yeah, you work technically in finance, but that doesn't mean that you've got an extensive knowledge of the investment markets. Right? You've got extensive knowledge of mortgages. I agree.
Sure.
But it doesn't always translate. You know, because I live in a community, for instance, where we have a representative board of members of the community that put together input on, for instance, our budget and our investments of a reserve fund the community has. And this is tens of millions of dollars. And I went to some of these meetings, some of these budget and finance committee meetings, only to learn that the half a dozen people on that committee really have no finance background. I'm saying, so you guys are making decisions even though you don't have expertise in this. And it doesn't make any sense to me. That's like an investor that does not have expertise managing their own account, except in this case, they're doing it for thousands of other people too. And so I think it's important that you look at where your strengths are and be honest, look in the mirror, give yourself an honest assessment. If you really have, you know, if you do have capability to do it on a consistent basis, that's the key word, consistency. Anybody can buy one or two stocks and get lucky and make money. The difference is doing it on a consistent basis, avoiding the big losses, letting your winners run. That's how successful investors do it. They don't hold on to the losses because they don't want to take a loss. They take the loss when it's a small loss. They don't let it turn into a big, big loss.
Sure.
And I think that's a critical difference between a lot of younger investors and a lot more experienced ones, is how to manage that risk. And that's managing the losses as well as the gains. Just because something's up 20% doesn't mean you should sell it. I know a lot of brokers that do that. They say, hey, we're up 20% in a month. Let's take it. You know, annualized, that's 240%. I said, that's BS, man. And that's what I would tell the brokers that I supervise is, you know what? When you got a winner, let it run. Let it keep going.
Yeah.
Unless something changes. If something changes, then by all means. But, you know, it's important that you understand the trends and that you can understand the cycles so that you're not caught on the wrong end of it, right? There's other ETFs and mutual funds that they manage volatility. They want to shift between stocks and bonds and cash. They'll use technical levels, you know, key support levels and resistance levels to figure these things out. Some of them are using computer algorithms to tell them when to buy or sell. The point is that it's a systematic or a rules-based approach. And I've talked before about, I think it was the last week or two, we were talking about taking emotion out of the investment process.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Right, and a great way to do that is by using a rules-based portfolio. So it lays up like Warren Buffett, right? Do you know how he invests, Steve? Based on rules. That's rules. How he invests. Rules. Rules that he came up with, you know, that it might have to do with revenue growth or earnings growth or a competitive proprietary product. That we call it if you've got a wide moat around your business, that means it's difficult for a new competitor to just put a stake in the ground and say, I'm going to sell that same thing, right? If you've got a wide moat, there's a lot more required to be an actual competitor. I would put NVIDIA in that category, all right? Now, a lot of people got freaked out a week or two ago when DeepSeek came out claiming they could replicate the technologies for a tiny fraction of the cost. And as more and more time has gone by, we found out that it's really not the same thing, and they really spent a heck of a lot more money than they originally said. So I think NVIDIA has got a very, very strong foothold in the artificial intelligence space. And we're going to find out, you know, a lot more in a couple of weeks when the earnings come out. And for the record, I hold shares of NVIDIA, and I've got a lot of stocks and a lot of investments personally in the artificial intelligence space. And the day that this news came out, NVIDIA dropped 17% in one day. Some other stocks that I own in that space dropped 30% in that one day. All right. So you want to make sure you understand these companies have a lot of them have twice the volatility of the S&P 500. So be careful if you're investing in these. If you're not sure how to do it, just give me a call. I'll be happy to give you some ideas and let you know how I do it.
Well, folks, and you can reach Kevin by calling 800-975-6717, 800-975-6717. Better yet, just visit the website, silverleaffinancial.com, silverleaffinancial.com. You can reach out to Kevin there, send him an email. You can actually schedule an appointment right there on the homepage. You make it very easy. And then as long as you're there, take a look at that resources tab. Dig into that and see where you go, because you're going to get lost there for a while and come out wondering why you didn't know these things before.
There you go. I appreciate it, Steve. And we put up fresh content all the time, guys. So if you were there a month ago, please go back, check it out. There's new material, new content. We're always adding new material, a lot of information on retirement planning and investment planning. And all of our, I shouldn't say all of them, but the last 10, 12, 15 podcasts are up there as well. You can listen to a past show if you'd like. And, you know, see if I know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
So talking about the intelligent approach to risk management. Now you want to realize when somebody's talking about risk management, it certainly doesn't mean that there won't be or can't be losses. Okay.
Okay.
What it should mean is that you avoid the really big losses. All right. Just like, just like a vaccine, which is just like an insurance policy, it doesn't eliminate the loss. It doesn't eliminate the chance you could get sick. With the case of a vaccine, hopefully it eliminates that you're going to die, all right? Just like with insurance, it reduces the loss. You still got to pay out-of-pocket costs and deductible costs, and you're paying your premiums. So it doesn't eliminate it. It just reduces it. It makes it so it's not as bad. And that's the same principle with risk-managed funds. And so other types, you can invest in funds that provide a hedge against a large loss. Some of them, they have low-volatility ETFs. We call them low-vol. Others we call tail risk strategies, and these investments often use options or derivatives, to provide income. I can show you some funds, ETFs, exchange traded funds right now on the S&P 500 that are paying between 9 and 10% dividends, and they hold the same investments in their portfolio as the S&P 500 index, all right? But if the index is flat or goes down, you still have got that dividend coming in, right?
Yeah.
The way they do it is by selling options against the portfolio. That's how they're generating that income. So there are other strategies. There's one on the NASDAQ 100, right? Same thing. It's like a 9.5% dividend. All right. So there are strategies out there for an investor that's trying to moderate the exposure to risk a little bit, but still giving you the ability to participate in the upside of the market. And that's what I was saying earlier. I think these are great for retired investors, if you have the tolerance for some risk. And now, just like I said a minute ago, these funds, none of them can guarantee you against a loss, all right? But they should help to mitigate it and maybe keep a 40% loss from happening, but you might wind up with a 20% loss. Okay. So it's not going to eliminate it, but it should reduce it.
And that's the whole point, and that's where your experience comes in. It occurred to me, you said something that, you know, when you were younger and you were doing this. So as you've gone through your career, Kevin, how has your approach changed, or has it? Are you still the same sort of driven, you know, rules-based guy that you started out like?
I'm still rules-based. In all honesty, a lot of these things I've learned along the way.
Sure.
I looked at a lot of thematic approaches when I was younger, and those come in and out of favor very quickly sometimes. When I was younger, I might want to invest with something because a person has a good reputation. Like a fund manager had a really good reputation. He came out with a new fund, and the fund was crap. It was lousy, right? Evolved into I'm an independent advisor. I pay for research from independent firms. So there's no ticket flow, order flow that I have to send them. I pay the old fashioned way with cash, you know, or a credit card.
Right.
And, you know, so I pay for it. And there's no other promises, none. All that I'm doing is paying for them for their research, and I get it from three different sources that are all independent of each other. And I take all the research, try to coalesce it all, digest it all, and then I use their recommendations to weed out what I don't want to own. But I'm starting off with a pool of all, let's say, strong buy rated stocks. And I'm looking for a consensus from various different researchers. I do my own research, and I pair together. I do my best to pair together technical as well as fundamental analysis. And every case is not the same, but those are some underlying elements I always look for. You know, like I don't like buying stocks underneath the 200-day moving average, for instance. All right?
Okay.
And I'll tell you, for instance, we were talking about NVIDIA a minute ago. NVIDIA's 200-day average is around 120, 121. And it had held it very strongly for, I want to say, the last 2 to 3 years. And I think it got back to 2022 for the last time it was below the 200-day. And this past week, after the DeepSeek news came out, we had a lot of volatility, and it broke the 200-day. And I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I don't like this. And if it had stayed below that 200-day average for long, I'd have probably reduced my position or maybe gotten out. But very quickly, in a matter of a few days, it turned around and rallied back above it, and now it's like 126, 127. So, sometimes I will make an exception to a rule, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, stick to the rules. You know, but I think what you need is the benefit of experience to know, is there a time you make an exception? And if I had sold it at 117, where it was last week, I'd be a little bit upset with myself right now because it's up 10 bucks higher already.
Oh,
and,
sure.
You know, and so I know the NVIDIA story very well, and I follow the space every day, and I'm watching the markets all day, pretty much every day. And so I feel like when you do that after 35 years, you get a feel for the market, and you get a feel for the reactions that are out there. And
yes.
And should you, like, for instance, you know, a lot of investors, a lot of professional investors, when this news came out, they weren't doing anything. That was the answer, guys. Sometimes the answer is do nothing. And when the stock market gets crazy, right, when it's just moving all over the place and you're saying, what the hell is going on? Maybe the best thing is to do nothing, all right? Not always, mm-hmm. right? But in this case, that's what I did. I said, you know what? This doesn't feel like a move I should address. I'm not doing anything. And I sat through it until it looked like we saw some base. A lot of times, in other words, it looked like they had bottomed out a little bit, you know? And in the ensuing days, I made some moves. But during the heat of the moment, a lot of times I don't like making any moves because I feel like those are very irrational, emotional moves.
Sure.
And I try to avoid those. And in the case of NVIDIA, even though it did break below the 200-day, if you had an algorithm trading your account, then when it broke that 200-day moving average, it sold your shares. That means you sold around 120, 119, 118, 117, somewhere in there, right? And today the stock's back up at 126, 127. So I wouldn't have been happy if I had made that move.
Yeah.
But that's where the benefit of experience comes into play to help you figure it out. And so there's a lot of different ways you can play the market, but what I've found is that you need to have some other empirical research to help you in finding the best ideas. if you're just relying on yourself or your friends or what you hear in the news or reading the papers or whatever here on TikTok, all right, you probably aren't going to, you might be in for some trouble, okay?
I think so, yeah. My son got into, just some basic investing and that kind of thing during the pandemic, and he took it very slow, still taking it very slowly. But again, over the last, 3 years that he and I have been talking about it, I can hear his experience kicking in. So you're right. I mean, it's a process, and it takes time.
It does. It takes time, and different people, it takes different amounts of time, right?
Yeah.
But I always remind myself, that it's okay to take a loss. All right. Doesn't mean I like taking a loss.
No.
All right. But nobody bats 100. Nobody bats 1,000, or however you want to look at it. Everybody picks some lousy ones. And I remind myself in baseball, if you get on base one time out of three, you're probably going to the Hall of Fame, right? In football, if you complete 70% of your passes for a quarterback, you're going to the Hall of Fame, right? And there's a lot of – so not that sports is a perfect analogy, but I do think there's a lot of comparisons. And I think it's a good reminder, you don't have to be perfect, right? And what I aim for is 2 out of 3. Sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't. But generally, 1 time out of 3, I'm going to be wrong. But my winners, for instance, Vertiv, Celestica, NVIDIA. Those are 3 stocks that I've owned for quite a while now. Celestica is up 250% in the last year. Vertiv, I want to say, is about a triple. NVIDIA hasn't done much for the last 6 months, but I'm pretty sure it's still up over 100% in the last year. Mm-hmm. And so my point is, I believe one of the keys to successful investing, if you're investing in stocks, is to seriously limit your losses. Limit your losses. And so if I'm down 10%, I'm thinking about selling it, all right? Because when I buy a stock, I'm looking for it to move up relatively quickly. I'm looking for a move in the next 3 to 6 months, not 3 to 6 years, all right? Yes, I know some investors do that. So I'm long-term. The excuse of long-term or the rationale of long-term, that's saying, sorry, I've screwed up on timing. That's what that is. I'm a long-term investor. I'm not worried about this downdraft. I'm long-term.
Right.
And that's their excuse for screwing up the timing. And that's my opinion, right?
Yes.
Because who wants to do that? Who wants to sit on a loss and look at your statement, I'm losing money, it looks like you're losing. Who wants to do that? I don't like looking at losers, right? So I really try my best to keep my losses. If I can keep them in the 10 to 15% range, that's what I try to do. I don't like taking any loss at all, but I've learned if it goes against me, I'm not marrying these stocks, right? I'm not marrying them. I'm just dating them for a little while.
Yeah, sure.
And if she gives me a bad attitude, maybe I'll say goodbye, all right? So these are tools. They're tools that we're using to try to enhance our wealth. You don't want to get emotional about it, right? And you don't have to make the money back with the same company that you lost it in, all right? I've heard people say that. I lost my money here. Damn it, I'm going to make it back. You don't have to make it back with the same company. You can make it back with a different one, right? And so that's one of the things that I try to give myself permission, that I can admit when I'm wrong. Maybe I wasn't wrong entirely, but I'm wrong right now because the stock didn't move when I expected it to move. I'm wrong. I admit it. I'm out. And I'm going to look for a better setup, something else that's positioned better, right? I like to look at, like I talk about technical analysis, there's something called the death cross, and it's the opposite of a golden cross, okay?
Okay, I get it.
A death cross is when the 50-day moving average goes below the 200-day, okay? So you could say that would be a sell signal, right? Because a lot of times if that happens, it's going lower.
Yes.
And the opposite is very positive, though, which is the golden cross. That's when your 50-day crosses above the 200-day moving average, right? That's a very strong buy signal from a technical analysis perspective. And so those are two things that I look for. I love to buy stocks breaking that golden cross, going above the 50-day moving average, the 50-day going over the 200-day. I think that's a fantastic buy signal. So that's what I'm referring to when I say look for something else that has a better setup. That's what I'm referring to, or the technical aspect of a trade.
And so how in depth do you go with clients, as much as they want?
I go in depth as much as they want. Typically, they don't want that much depth.
Right. But there are, I would guess there is a few that do.
There are some, but I would say less than 10%.
Okay, but that's okay too.
Oh yeah, by all means. No, it to honestly the clients that I work the best with are people that say just do your thing, man. Just make me money. Don't take crazy risk, and you know that's all I need. And they don't. A lot of them don't even want. I've had some clients say, "Why do I have to look at my statements?" I say, "Well,
but don't you wanna?"
I mean, well, that was my first thing. Well, don't you want to? And they're like, she's like, "No, not really." I don't really enjoy that. She says, "I have money, but I don't like doing that." And I say, "You know what? That's fine because that's what I do." So but literally, that's what she told me a couple months ago. She told me that. I said. Because I said something like you probably saw it in your statement. She's like, I don't look at my statements.
But I'm glad I did, you said.
Exactly. That's right. And and so the majority, probably half of my clients, they really don't want anything to do with the stock market. They just want their money to grow. We have our conversations, so I know how much risk I can take. I know how much, you know, sometimes we segregate money. And we put it in safe money products, which we've talked about before. That could be just a plain fixed rate guaranteed annuity, right? So for instance, right now, guys, I can get 5.6% guaranteed for 5 years. It's a plain vanilla fixed annuity, just like a bank CD in that it's a guaranteed interest rate. The difference is that you don't pay tax on the interest until you withdraw the money. Whereas a CD, you got to pay tax on the interest, you know, every year. If it's regular money, right? So you can get a plain vanilla, you know, fixed. So you've got a 5.5% return coming in. You've got that. Other clients will go into index annuities where the money, the principal is protected, but you can make up to 8 or 9% in a good year. But you know, if it's a bad year, you won't lose a dime, right? And I can show you some very good returns of, let's say, in the 7 to 8% range over a long period of time from some good index annuities. The trade-off is that you got to lock your money up for a period of time, all right? In other words, you put it in there for 5, 7, 10 years, you can take out 5 to 10% a year. But if you want more liquidity, then an annuity is probably not the best idea for you, all right?
Okay.
They're really good for RMDs, for IRA money, because they always let you take out your required distribution without any penalty. That I've never seen one that didn't. You know, so there's a lot of – Baskin-Robbins is 31 flavors, right?
Right, yeah.
Not everybody likes chocolate. I don't know why, but not everybody does. And so that's what I try to do. I try to find something. I am licensed both for insurance products as well as securities. So I've got a lot of clients that have annuities. I've got some clients that they have nothing but annuities because they don't want to take any risk at all with their money. She says, and probably 60% of my clients are women, probably 40% men. And so I've got a lot of, you know, retired female clients, and I work, you know, I love working with them. They're great to work with. And they really just want somebody that they can trust that they know is going to do the best they can, do the best for them. And that's what I try my best to do. So I think it's important, though, the first thing that I always want to start off with, Steve, is figuring out how much risk somebody wants to take and how much they're comfortable taking. Because if they say, I don't want any risk, that eliminates the stock market. And so I always suggest that if they're comfortable to maintain some. But as we go through the process, I want to focus on making sure they can live the lifestyle that you want to live, right? And that you get the cash flow you want. But as we talk about markets and planning for the future, inflation is always a concern, right?
Yes.
That's the reason why I said earlier that I think a lot of people might be too conservative, because if all you have are save bank accounts and CDs, then I think inflation is going to be eating away at your purchasing power. And there's a very good chance over time that your spending power is going to go down. So you need to have additional sources of income, or you need to have something to help you hedge against inflation. And stocks historically have been the best way to do that. And so I think it makes sense to have maybe minimal exposure. Maybe you only have 10% in stocks or 20% in stocks. But I do think it makes sense for most people to maintain stock exposure throughout their life.
Of course. So you said something earlier, and I'm going to go back to that. You talked about an annuity, and then that an annuity will allow you can take out the RMD from the annuity. Talk to me about that. I've never heard that described that way.
Yeah, well, what I'm referring to are, of course, the retirement accounts. There's a lot of misinformation about annuities, okay, first of all. Mm-hmm. A lot of writers paint them with a broad brush as though they're all the same, when in fact they're not. They've got some common underlying features. I tell people, would you say all cars are the same?
No.
Of course not, right? But they've got some common underlying features, right? They generally have four tires and a steering wheel, which the steering wheel might be going away, I guess. you know, but they've got some common features, but they're very different. There's a big difference between a Buick and a Porsche or a Ferrari, right?
Yes.
And so there's a lot of differences. It's the same thing with annuities. Some of them have high fees and high expenses, which I would never touch. But that's something you want to have somebody with expertise, because a lot of these you got to dig to find out how where are they charging you? Where are they making their money? Are they, if you got a variable annuity, how much are they jacking up the expenses on those underlying accounts? Those sub-accounts, they call them, that are actually mutual funds. You might think you go into an index fund inside of a variable annuity that it's got a low expense ratio. Think again. You need to take a look at it, because what these companies do is they jack up the price. Just like I learned with some delivery services for food, you might spend $15 for a meal if you go there yourself and buy it, but you ordered through the delivery service and now it's $22.
Yeah, right? Somebody's got to make money.
They're jacking up the – yeah, it's free delivery, but they jacked up the cost of the food 50%. Okay, so it's important to understand what's going on behind the scenes, and this is a case where most people want to use an advisor because they say, you know what, I don't want to read a prospectus. I don't want to look through the proxy. I don't want to look at all this, you know, pages and pages and pages of information, right? And so going back to your question, though, Steve, the RMD is the required minimum distribution that now, once you hit 73, you have to start withdrawing money from your IRA by law. It starts off at like 4%. I think it's 3.65.
Yeah.
And then it goes up a little bit each year as you get older. And so you have to take that distribution. And so a lot of people will ask me, if I say you can only take out a set amount each year, they say, well, what about the RMD? And that's what I'm saying. So if a person is older and the required distribution amount is higher than the normal free withdrawal amount, the company waives the penalty. And they will not penalize you for taking a required distribution. All right. But okay. It could be your entire withdrawal that you're allowed to take from that account in that year.
Okay. I mean, I know I got kind of in the weeds there, but it was just something I hadn't heard before. So thank you.
No trouble. I just wouldn't want anyone to think they're going to get hung up taking out something that they have to take. That's not a problem.
Sure.
Right. But guys, if anybody's interested in me helping you figure out whether you should, you know, stick with stocks and bonds or entertain a prospect of an annuity, that's my bread and butter. I've been doing that for decades. Please just reach out. I'd be happy to help.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise to create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.